I'm Gene Pasale, and this is Living History. This show explores the rich heritage of the Brandywine Valley outside Philadelphia, focusing on the people, places, and events over more than 300 years which have played an important part in our American heritage. Each show highlights a local town, event, or personality who's had a notable influence on our culture. Before we get started, I want to mention our call-in line is 610-701-9243. That's 610-701-9243. This day in history. In 1865, President Abraham Lincoln meets with a delegation of Confederate officials at Hampton Roads, Virginia, to discuss a possible peace settlement to end the Civil War. After numerous Union victories, Lincoln insisted on the South's unconditional surrender, which they refused, and the meeting ended within a few hours, allowing the conflict to drag on for two more months. In 1953, French oceanographer Jacques Cousteau publishes his most famous and enduring work, The Silent World. 5 years earlier, Cousteau had converted a ship into an oceanographic research vessel and christened it the Calypso. He subsequently began work on a film of the book with director Louis Malle. 3 years later, the movie The Silent World was released to critical acclaim. The film, which revealed to the public the hidden universe of tropical fish, whales, dolphins, and walruses, won Best Documentary at the Academy Awards and the Palme d'Or at the Cannes Film Festival. And in 1959, rising American rock stars Buddy Holly, Ritchie Valens, and J.P. the Big Bopper Richardson are killed when their chartered Beechcraft Bonanza plane crashes in Iowa a few minutes after takeoff from Mason City on a flight headed for Minnesota. Previously having mechanical difficulties with their tour bus, Holly had chartered the plane for his band to fly between stops on their winter dance party tour. Investigators blame the crash on bad weather and pilot error. Holly and his band, the Crickets, had just scored a number one hit with That'll Be the Day. Singer Don McLean memorialized Holly 13 years later in the 1972 hit American Pie, which refers to February 3, 1959, as the day the music died. When noted illustrator Howard Pyle set up his art school in Chads Ford, PA, just before the turn of the 20th century, he didn't know he was starting a tradition that would live on for decades as the Brandywine School. Seeing Pyle's stunningly beautiful paintings like The Nation Makers, conveying the story of the American Revolution, and The Mermaid, a surreal depiction of a man embraced by a beautiful sea creature, one understands how his depth of talent transferred to his many students, who included N.C. Wyeth and Frank Schoonover. Pyle's artistry would continue to inspire dozens of painters who captured the delicate light, shadows, and textures of the regional landscape of the Brandywine Valley. That tradition lives on today in the work of artist Jacqueline Beam. Jacqueline was born in Chester County and has been involved with local history for many years at the Chads Ford Historical Society, notably their annual Plein Air event. Plein Air is a French term for being outdoors. This event showcases dozens of fine artists depicting the countryside as they work out in the elements. Jacqueline has sponsored the Plein Air event for the last 7 years, and it will occur again this Saturday, February 6th, from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Historical Society Visitor Center, 1736 Creek Road in Chads Ford. Jacqueline has created hundreds of superb paintings of Chester County and regional panoramas, and she's here with us today. Jacqueline, welcome to the show. We may have a delay here. We're still waiting for Jacqueline to join us. The Brandywine School is one which has been around for well over 100 years, and the artists in this area know the school quite well, many of them imitating artists like Howard Pyle, N.C. Wyeth, and others. The school really is an informal name for a group of literally dozens of artists, because these artists have, in effect, followed in the footsteps of a well-known painter, most notably Howard Pyle. Howard Pyle was a well-known illustrator at the turn of the century. N.C. Wyeth was a contemporary, and they both illustrated magazines and book covers, several publications, and I think it's really a stunning school to study because of the interactions between many different artists. But again, we're going to try to get Jacqueline Beam here on the line. Jacqueline, are you here with us?
I am. Thank you, Gene. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you for joining us. For full disclosure, Jacqueline is a friend of ours, and I admire her excellent work. Jacqueline, how long have you been an artist?
I want to say I've been an artist ever since I went to grade school, because in school, you know, we always had to color and draw and do things that were artistic for our projects. But I would say professionally, I've been an artist for approximately 7 years.
Excellent. Now, you were sketching and painting when you were a youngster. Did you do much artwork, let's say, in high school?
I did. In fact, I very much loved my art classes in high school, and my high school art teachers wanted me to pursue art. But, you know, when you're 17, sometimes you don't necessarily listen to the adults. So I decided to go to school for music. And so my undergraduate degree was in music. But as you know, music and art have some of the same affinities, and they're very much linked.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
well, I'm a big fan of fine art, and I have to admit, I do love your landscapes. I'm very partial to landscapes. What artists were your major inspirations?
To say early on, while I was in high school, and I appreciate you asking that about the high school art, in high school it was definitely the Wyeths, because I attended Owen J. Roberts High School and, of course, graduated from there. And as you know, that's right up along the Glenmore Route 100 corridor there. And the art teachers and the fine art teachers at that time very much looked to the local history. And, of course, I was in, you know, your classes were embedded with the Wyeth pictures and the history of the area, as well as a broader representation across the country and the world. So I do think that was my first inclination toward the Wyeths. And then as I got older, even though we lived in Baltimore at the time, we traveled back to Longwood, and I remember when the Brandywine River Museum opened, and we purchased some of the original posters, and just frequented this area so much that all of those experiences have impacted my art now. And of course, now we live in a beautiful Brandywine Valley, so it's a painter's paradise.
It really is. You know, I moved to Kennett Square about 8 years ago, and it's just a lovely area. For our listeners who are not in the Brandywine Valley area, this area is just lovely, especially in the fall. So you can tour around this region in September and October and even into November and see some absolutely stunning landscapes, which have inspired numerous artists, including Jacqueline. I have seen many of your works, and that really they are superb. You tend to focus on landscapes, which are my favorite. Tell us a little bit about how you go painting a scene.
Well, I love the landscape because I love the beauty of the earth. I love to be outside. And when I'm outside painting, you can hear birds and squirrels, and you meet people jogging. I mean, being outside is really enjoying the beauty of the land. And when you're painting, particularly plein air painting, which means in the open air, you are capturing the beauty of the land on that particular day. No matter what the temperatures or the weather, you're documenting in time that particular landscape as it looked the day you painted it. And I had a conversation with John Milner, the local architect, years ago, and he said that, we use sketches and drawings from artists in the past to help us reconstruct, our buildings and understand better the history of the times. So plein air artists today are really documenting today for future historians who will want to know what it was that we did and how the places looked at this right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. Not many people consider art an historical artifact, but quite frankly, artists, especially those who paint the landscape, are making an historical record. It's something that will be part of the record going forward for decades, and I have seen many, many paintings over the years, which quite frankly, were very important, whether it be a depiction of a landscape where a major battle occurred or what have you. So they really are important, and not just for the art scene, but also for history.
I'm going to give you two good examples before we go on, and that is I purchased a watercolor many years ago from an auction in Pennsylvania, and it turns out, I didn't even know it at the time, it was a watercolor of the Chad's Ford, the Chad's house prior to its restoration. Mm. So that artist documented it. And recently I painted down on Birmingham Road and, you know, a building, it was called Birmingham Light. And about a month after I painted, I'm going down the road and the building's gone.
That is...
Evidently the realtor took it off thinking that, well, the property hasn't sold. Maybe we need to get rid of the building. That'll sell it.
That is so sad. We do see that a lot around this area, historic structures from 200, even 300 years ago going by the wayside. It is actually very unfortunate. Are there any specific types of scenes or specific areas around this region that you focus on when you paint?
Well, I do like historic structures. I think just because they are a novelty in a way with all of the other growth around them, they somewhat stick out and capture my attention. But I typically look for two things, and that is, one, the light, because impressionistic painters were interested in capturing the light. So depending on how light hits a certain subject or a building or a landscape or a tree, will sometimes capture my attention. And the other thing is the shapes of things and how they're arranged, because I don't manipulate shapes or anything on my canvases. I paint what I see. You know, some painters, they will look at something, and then when it's over, it looks like something completely different because they took, you know, 100% artistic license. When I paint plein air, I'm actually looking at what I'm painting, and I'm painting what it is I see. So if it attracts me, I'll stop. And there have been times when I have painted something because it attracted me, and a couple of weeks later I'll go back and think, oh, I'm going to paint that again. And seriously, I'll look at it and I'll say, why? What was it that attracted me the first time? Because today it is just not hitting me. And then there's other times when I will go out to paint on the weekend, and I might drive over an hour. Mm-hmm. Seriously, over an hour just in this area. And something's not quite hitting me.
I know the feeling, because I've seen you out on the landscape painting, and in fact I've seen several of your works of historic structures like Cope's Bridge, the Embryville Bridge. Both of those paintings are superb.
Yeah.
We are about to take a station break here, and I just want to mention to our listeners that, again, if you haven't visited Chester County, especially in the fall, you will love it. It's absolutely stunning with all the colors changing. It's a perfect place for artists like Jacqueline and others to do their work. And, again, we are just about to take a commercial break, so Jacqueline, stay on the line, and we will be back after this short break.
Radio PA's Ask the Governor program brings you access to Pennsylvania's governor like you've never had before. You can send your questions and comments to Governor Tom Wolf now by going to PAMatters.com and clicking the Ask the Governor link at the top of the page. You could be part of our next edition of Ask the Governor.
School funding, investment in schools is really important to me. My goal is to try to provide for a fair tax system for everybody. I said, send me a full year budget, a real budget, and I'll let it pass. We need to get to work to get this budget done.
You can also listen to Ask the Governor and watch exclusive video clips from the show on PAMatters.com.
This is Governor Tom Wolf. We'll talk about the issues that affect you on Ask the Governor. You can submit your question or comment today by visiting PAMatters.com.
Ask the Governor is a production of Radio PA and PAMatters.com in association with TFM Advertising.
Are you tired of looking up at that old, streaky, stained, tired, ugly roof? Tired of that ugly roof taking away from your home's curb appeal? G.P. Martini Roofing wants to solve your curb appeal woes with a new roof built with Atlas Pristine Shingles featuring Scotch Guard Protector from 3M, the only shingle with a lifetime limited warranty against algae, streaks, and stains. G.P. Martini's crews are highly trained professional installers of asphalt shingle roofs, and now with the power of Atlas Shingles and Scotchgard Protector from 3M, GP Martini will install a roof that will provide the lasting color you choose for as long as you're in your home. Let GP Martini Roofing have a look at that nagging leak, or just call to consult about upgrading the look for your prized investment. Call them today, 610-873-1696. Whether your need is residential or commercial, GP Martini Roofing has the expertise in-house to solve your problem, or to simply make your home or office look its best. 610-873-1696. That's the number to call. 610-873-1696. And one of those GP Martini trucks will be on its way to you.
From Westchester to Coatesville, from Kennett to Chester Springs, from Parksburg to Paoli, this is your home for all things Chester County. WCHE 1520 AM, the talk of Chester County.
I'm Gene Pasale, and this is Living History. Today we're talking with Jacqueline Beam, Brandywine Valley artist. Jacqueline, thanks for staying with us on the show. You have done hundreds of paintings. How do you decide which ones to sell and which ones to keep as your favorites?
Well, that's a good question. Well, typically I keep the brand new ones and live with them maybe for a little while, unless it's a commission that has to go out right away. And then there's times when the galleries are selling the paintings and they need a replacement, so I don't have the luxury of keeping them all. Typically, the galleries will have wet paintings of mine on the wall. Two in particular that are local are the Strode's Mill Gallery on Birmingham Road, which is a historic road, as you know.
That's a great gallery.
And then, it is a great gallery. She has, I think, the most of my work right now. And then there's also a gallery called the Chads Ford Gallery, which is right beside Brandywine Prime on Route 1. And, in fact, I have an opening there this Friday night in 3 days. And
oh,
the paintings
fun.
Will be... The paintings will be wet.
Not from the rain, either.
No, they're not from the rain. They were painted plein air this past week in the beautiful snow that we had. And while I'm talking about the snow, I would encourage people to come here in the winter, too. And because the winter was Wyatt's favorite time of year to paint, I have to say I think it's my favorite time of year, too, because when the leaves are off the trees, not only can you see the unique and beautiful character and individualism of, you know, the different species of trees in this area, but you can see further into the landscape because the leaves are not obstructing your view.
Exactly. So, I've seen several beautiful old, got to be 200-year-old sycamores in the area, and they are just stunning, even in the fall after they've lost all their leaves.
Those are my favorite to paint. I just love them.
Yeah, and, you know, in terms of the landscapes, N.C. Wyeth didn't focus a lot on landscapes. He did some. He did a lot of historical characters. But a guy named Barclay Rubenkam was a local artist. I believe he passed away in 1978. He painted the Hessians marching past the Barnes-Britton House at the Battle of Brandywine. Very famous painting, historic painting, which is now at the Chads Ford Historical Society, one of my all-time favorites. I've never met him, but I have met local artists like Paul Scarborough and Sculthorpe, two well-known artists in this area. Paul just passed away a couple of years ago. Have you ever met those gentlemen?
I met Paul, and also another famous artist is Jamie Wyeth. I see him frequently. In fact, he invited some of the artists to paint on his property, which was quite a special treat. And but I never met Paul. Never met Peter Sculthorpe. Although it's funny, we talk back and forth on like media and or you know through the gallery owners, but we've never been in the same company at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've been involved with the Chads Ford Historical Society for many, many years, and you coordinate the plein air event. Tell us just a little bit about that. A little bit about the history of the event, how you decided to set that up, and why our listeners may want to join us this Saturday, the 6th.
Oh, I'm glad you asked about that because it is quite a unique event in this area. As I said before, winter was Wyeth's favorite time of year to paint, and he went out and he painted in the winter. And that is exactly what this group of artists is doing. We are going outside, painting plein air, all spaces of the Brandywine Valley. And this weekend is the opening, Saturday night. People are invited to come and see wet paintings produced that day from 22 of the Mid-Atlantic painters. And when I say Mid-Atlantic, we have people coming from New York, D.C., Virginia, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware. We all are in this Mid-Atlantic region, and we converge on the Brandywine Valley Saturday morning. Each artist picks whatever it is that they want to paint, and of course it will be outside. There are no inside or still lifes at this. And each artist documents in their own style something that caught their attention in the Brandywine Valley. So it's quite a unique show. People talk about it every year because it's fun, and it's a wonderful social event, too. The Tennisport Historical Society volunteers come out. We have a little reception with, you know, wine and beer and sodas and cider and some hors d'oeuvres and baked things that the people from the volunteers bring. The artists will be there to discuss why they painted a certain scene in the Brandywine Valley and also a little bit about their work. So you get to meet artists from at least five or six different states that night. And all the proceeds from that night that are assigned to the Tennisport Historical Society goes into education and preserving the history of the Brandywine Valley here. So I would encourage people to go to the Tennisport Historical Society website, and right there it is. It shows you every artist's name. If you click on an artist, their website comes up. You can see their work and learn about them. The website also shows you how to get a ticket for Saturday night. And by the way, I have to tell you, at 6 o'clock, it's the best deal in town because it's only $10.
Yeah, it's a great event. I've been to, I think, almost all of them, and they're really a lot of fun. One thing that always fascinates me is seeing artists painting outdoors, sometimes in the snow or the rain. How in the world do you paint in the snow or the rain?
Well, snow is a lot easier out in the rain. And of course, it's pouring today. So, but I have done pouring down rain paintings because you could be out and all of a sudden the rain comes. And that happened to me at Winter once. I was luckily up by one of their potting sheds, and I was painting, you know, the landscape there. And all of a sudden it just, you know, it trickled a little bit. Then all of a sudden we just had one of those downpours. So I pulled my easel up underneath one of the, you know, awnings that were there, because clearly oil and water doesn't mix. You probably have heard that saying. So if you're painting in oils, you really don't want the rain on your painting. So if you can't take shelter, or if you don't have an umbrella, you do have to close, you know, your painting box and paint on another day. But if you can find shelter, painting in the rain is fun, and it gives you a different atmospheric. I mean, I'm looking at the outside now. I mean, it's a beautiful gray. The trees are a darker color than they are when they're not wet. So I'm hoping that listeners, as a result of me saying this, painting in all kinds of weather, I hope they look more carefully at the landscape on rainy days. Just because it's raining doesn't mean it's not beautiful still. And as far as painting in the snow, I've done that too. And snowflakes, when they come down on your canvas, if it's cold enough out, they don't melt. So they just sort of hang there. And I blow them off. But then I usually reach for one of my umbrellas to, you know, to keep it off.
Yeah, I've seen a few of your paintings of local historical structures in a snowfall, and they're just absolutely lovely. Switching gears just a little bit, do you ever paint any historical figures, like people?
To be honest with you, I haven't, because that would involve, since I'm a plein air painter, and you know, I'm typically out in the field and I'm painting right there on the spot. I guess I would need to hire a model if I was going to paint a historical figure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was thinking of, for example, people probably know this area for the Brandywine Battlefield. They have reenactments with people in full dress uniform and cannons firing their muskets. I thought that would be a great scene to paint.
You know, you're right. That's a great idea. I could put that on my to-do list.
Yeah, I think historical figures were really some of the favorites for N.C. Wyeth. And again, in full disclosure, I absolutely love the work of N.C. Wyeth. He's one of my all-time favorite artists. I also love the other Wyeths, Andrew and his son Jamie. But there's something about the work of N.C. which kind of has a mysterious, almost an ethereal quality to it. It almost seems like you're looking at the painting of a dream. He's got one, Washington at Yorktown, which is the famous climactic battle of, in 1781, October, where Washington was about to witness his major victory. And that painting is just absolutely superb. Historical figures, of course, have long interested me for my focus on history. But in terms of the local artists that are joining us, are all of them focused on landscapes in their regular work, or are they just joining us for this event to paint the landscape? Are they actually landscape artists?
Well, the plein air painters that are coming do plein air work, but there are some of them who also do studio painting, and, you know, like they may set up a still life and just paint inside for a week, or some of them may do, you know, dog portraits. I don't know. I mean, yeah, there's a good reason to go for your listeners to go to the website again, because all 22 artists are listed, and all you do is click their name and their entire website comes up. You'll see maritime paintings. You'll see landscape paintings with some. Some people do figurative studies. I do want to talk a little bit about figurative since you asked the question, though, and that is NC did not paint plein air figure studies. If you go to his studio, you will see costumes and things sitting around, because what he did was he dressed up his friends or mannequins and were, you know, his relatives in these costumes, and they would pose for him in the studio, and that's how he would come up with many of his, you know, illustrations. And many of them are from his mind, which is probably why they even look dreamy to you, because it, you know, he would read the story and then he would imagine what this might look like based on the words and, you know, the descriptions. So if he made it seem like a dream and like you said, ethereal to you, then I think he did a good job of reading and interpreting.
I agree. You know, as a history buff, I admire the work of other people, specifically artists that we're talking about, it like N.C. Wyeth, even Andrew Wyeth, who were also big history buffs. What are your plans for some future projects? What are you looking at ahead at in the year, 2016, 2017?
Well, I've always wanted to do a book. I've had that as a project on my bucket list maybe for about 4 years, and I really, you know, every once in a while I think about it again. So I will do that. I'm also planning to travel out west. You know, when you go west, or if you go to Europe or wherever, even Maine, the colors are different, and of course the scenery is different, requiring a whole different mindset and color structure on your palette.
I love the west.
We do too. That ocean is something to see, and of course, you know, everywhere from Sonoma all the way down to Los Angeles, all along there's beautiful places to paint.
Also, Sedona. Sedona is a great place, and you know, we love Sedona. We were just there in November. Unfortunately, we're almost out of time. I just want to mention, Jacqueline, that your work to our listeners can be seen on her website at jacquelinebean.com. I showcase some of her work in my new book, American Revolution to Fine Art, Brandywine Valley Reflections, which you can get on Amazon.com. Jacqueline, I really do thank you for joining us today. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday, February 10th, when we'll be speaking with Bonnie Musser and Danielle Chamberlain about the Unionville Fair. Thank you all for tuning in to Living History.